Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fellow saints of God, today is our celebration day, on which we commemorate the eternal life of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen asleep in the faith, whose bodies lie in dust and ashes, but whose souls live with Jesus in the mansions of heaven. I know that some of you mourn for loved ones who have not died in the faith, and for them we mourn, and the rest of us mourn together with you. But we don't mourn for the saints. We may mourn for our temporary separation from them, but we don't mourn for them. Today is our celebration day. Not unlike Easter Sunday itself. On Easter, Jesus won his victory over the devil who tried to destroy him, over the world that hated him, and over death that could hold him for a measly 3 days. Today we celebrate the same victory of the saints that is theirs through faith in the same Jesus who rose on Easter Sunday, who are victorious over the devil, who can't harm them anymore, who are victorious over the world that hated them as it still hates us, and who are also victorious over death, although death has held our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Jesus longer than the 3 days that it held Jesus, hasn't it? Who are the saints who come to your mind today? A mom or dad, husband or wife, son or daughter, brother or sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, a close friend, a fellow church member. They've been in their graves longer than 3 days. We don't see them or their victory or their life. If only there were a way for us to glimpse past death and see for ourselves, to see how they fare, to see the kind of life that they have or don't have. God offers us that glimpse. He's the only one who can. Just a little glimpse beyond the veil of death to see things as they really are. There's plenty of fiction out there about what heaven is like for the saints, for us. And fiction is absolutely worthless. It's a lie. It's a story. It does no one any good. The only one who can show us what kind of life is there for our departed loved ones who died in faith is God himself, and he does it in the revelation of St. John chapter 7. He pulls back the curtain just for a moment and gives us a glimpse of the real live life of our friends who have fallen asleep. First, see how many of them there are. A great multitude that no one could number. Now, Jesus once said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." In comparison with the billions and billions of people who have lived throughout the 6,000-year history of this world, the number of people in heaven is relatively small. In any given room, in any given city, the number of believers in Jesus may be relatively small, but when you add them up, in all the rooms, and in all the cities, over all the years and from every language, tribe, people, and language that have ever been and that will be. It is, as John pictures it, a great multitude that no one can count, that no one can number. Children for Abraham that are as numerous as the sand by the sea and the stars of the sky, as God promised to Father Abraham long ago. So numerous that no one can count them. People who are not isolated from one another in heaven, people who are not off here, some there, some there. Black people here, Spanish people here, white people here, rich people or poor people huddled together. It is one great multitude together in heaven. There is no loneliness there. There is no isolation. There are no divisions. See where they are gathered. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They're standing. Not lying there helpless, as you may remember them in a hospital bed or a death bed. Not sitting in a wheelchair. Not hobbling across the room. They are standing. They are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, not off fishing somewhere or golfing. Sometimes our sinful minds take our favorite pastimes here on earth and imagine that that's what heaven should be like. Some people, even some who call themselves Christians, are actually disappointed to find out that all you get in heaven is God. They won't have to worry about only having God when they get to heaven. They won't be there. Those who are there have loved God and want to be in the presence of God and have taken comfort in the Lamb in whose presence they will spend eternity. See how the saints are dressed. Behold a host arrayed in white, as we'll sing as one of the distribution hymns today. Clothed in white robes, John says, like our white pyramids today, although much brighter and much whiter. Pure and sinless, no longer plagued by the sinful nature that tempts us and tugs at us in every direction, but the direction God would have us walk. No longer tempted, no longer plagued, no longer sinful. Not even in their actions, even as in this life, they and we have been cleansed through faith in Christ in our status before God. Their life will match their status perfectly in heaven. See what they hold in their hands. Palm branches. Like the Israelites held during every Feast of Tabernacles that they celebrated in that annual celebration in which they remembered the temporary dwellings, the tents in which they lived during the time from their sojourn, their journey from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. Even so, the saints in heaven now celebrate as a distant memory, the temporary dwellings that they had here on earth as they moved from death to life, even as we move from death to life in these temporary dwellings to live forever in our permanent dwelling in heaven with God. The palm branches also recall the events of Palm Sunday, when the crowds welcomed the Lamb of God to the gates of Jerusalem and called out to him, Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is he who comes. That's similar to what the saints are saying, are crying aloud in heaven, although now it's not come and save us now. Now it's you have come and saved They cry out with a loud voice, John says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. See who it is in whose company they stand. All the angels were standing around the throne. Our loved ones do not become angels when they die. That's a pagan myth. But they do stand forever in the presence of all the angels as they stand around the throne, a glorious company, a glorious band, as one of our hymns says. They stand there with the angels, worshiping God and singing his praises always. And see what the saints have left behind in order to stand there. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In case you're unaware, this, all around us, is not the great vacation. It's the great tribulation. Not just because of the pain and the suffering and the separation. Not just because of financial instability and uncertainty for the future and all the other woes that we suffer here on this earth. This earth is the place where you are still in danger. This earth is the place where your faith is still the target of terrible enemies like the devil and the world and your sinful nature. This world is the place where Jesus says you will have much trouble, much tribulation, where you really could fall away from faith if you don't care, where the devil really will attack you and persecute you and afflict you in every which way, spiritually as well as physically. This is the place where you have to think about the doctrine of Scripture and search for the right teaching of it and struggle to understand it and pray that you don't fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is the great tribulation. This is the place where it's hard to hold on to love, as you're surrounded by a loveless world and even sometimes Christians who fall into lovelessness. How can a person hold on to love? It is as Jesus said it would be. The love of most will grow cold, and even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. But see, the saints have come out of all this great tribulation and have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They come out of it, it says, one by one, as death ushers them out of the great tribulation into the great calm of heaven. They can finally rest. They can finally breathe a sigh of relief. It's over. We made it. No more persecution. No more pain. No more struggling with false teachings. No more threats to their faith. Finally, see what God does for them as they live in his presence and serve him day and night in his temple. He shelters them with his presence, providing for their every need, not indirectly as he does now, but directly. Protecting them from all harm and danger. No more hunger or thirst, no more scorching heat from the sun or from anything else. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to springs of living water. No longer through the valley of the shadow of death, but now through the valley of the shadow of death. No more to walk through it again. and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. After all the struggles with sin and with sin's consequences, finally the saints in heaven reach the lap of their heavenly Father, who wipes away all the tears and says, "There, that's done now. No more of that. You're here with me now." No one knows the pain and the tears of the saints more than our heavenly Father, and no one is better equipped to wipe away those tears. This is not pious fiction. This is no false hope. This is the word of the Lord. This is what heaven is like for our friends who have fallen asleep, and this is what heaven will be like for you when you fall asleep. The grave may hold you longer than 3 days, but the resurrection of Jesus is what gives us the confidence to confess in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." We also confess in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints." The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, includes both us and them, believers on the earth and believers in heaven, in one great communion, in one great fellowship. But if you want to get a glimpse of this fellowship, of this communion, if you want to experience just a little bit of this fellowship, this communion with the saints, then please don't go to the cemetery. You may go to the cemetery. You may put flowers at the grave of your loved one and remember them, but they're not there. You know that. Their souls are not in any way tied to the rotting flesh that lies in the grave or to the dust and ashes that it has become. Their souls stand before the throne of God and before the Lamb. They are the body of Christ. Christ is as little in the grave as they are, and they as little as Christ. If you want to participate in this communion just a little bit on this side of heaven, you know where the Holy Communion is. It's why we call it the Holy Communion. It's why we call it the Supper of the Lamb. Because here, this is how Jesus allows us to have communion with his body and blood, even on this side of heaven, just as the saints in heaven have communion with him fully and in sight. Here in the Holy Supper, this is where you're closest to those who have died in the faith, not at the cemetery, not in your living room, here in the Holy Communion with the Lamb. Our connection to them is not direct. It's through him, just as our connection to all believers is not direct. It's through him, through the head. And where the saints are, there one day you shall be, if you hold on to the faith in which they have fallen asleep. They have reached their goal. We are still running the race. Their blessedness is experienced in glory and seen. Our blessedness is hidden in humility and meekness, and not seen, but believed. Even as Jesus said in the gospel, "Blessed are they." He's talking about you. Blessed are you. Blessed are we on this side of heaven. On this side, where we live in meekness and humility and thirst and hunger for righteousness, where we are persecuted, where we live in war and we try to make peace. Here we are blessed, Jesus says, but that we take by faith and not by sight. Luther once wrote, this life is not godliness, but growth in godliness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. The process is not yet finished, but it has begun. This is not the goal, but it is the road. At present, all does not gleam and glitter, but everything is being purified. Hang in there. You will make it. God is faithful. God has baptized you into this race in which you are now running. Baptized you through Jesus Christ into his family and into the road that will end where the road has ended for all the saints in glory. Jesus has finished that race for you and won the prize and feeds and nourishes you along the way in his word and sacraments. Keep running. It won't be long now. God is faithful. And when you finish the race, as you will, we will celebrate you too, at least once a year. At least on the commemoration of the faithful departed, All Saints' Day, we will celebrate you too and your eternal life. Today is our celebration day, the day on which we thank God through Jesus Christ for all the saints who from their labors rest. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.